This is really the omnibus paper. We put a lot of effort into this one. We tried to pull everything we've done on judgment formation into one paper. I'm obviously not going to be able to cover all of it, but I do. I am going to refer to it and try to give you some page numbers when I'm talking about some cases. The good news is that for those of you who've heard me give this speech before, there really are some new cases that have resolved some unsettled areas in judgment formation, and there's also still some the same unsettled areas that we've talked about for years. So I think there's a little bit of something for everyone I'm going to talk about today. Okay, so the history of prejudgment interest is always, I think, important, and sometimes I omit this, but looking at recent cases made me realize that people really do need to understand what has happened in Texas law over the last 30 years, because if you just go research prejudgment interest and you're looking at cases from before 2003, you're just going to get it wrong, because the common law and the statutory scheme has changed so many times over the last 30 years. And I think it's important to recognize that 30 years ago, there was no prejudgment interest in Texas. And Kavanaugh changed that. And the rationale behind Kavanaugh is something that you will still see in Texas cases on prejudgment interest. And you will still see this rationale being the deciding factor in a lot of unsettled areas. And it's that prejudgment interest is not punitive. It's compensating you for lost use of money. And the goal is to encourage settlements. I think it's really important to remember that's why we have prejudgment interest. We want to encourage, we don't want to give defendants any incentives for delay, nor do we want to give plaintiffs, create those same incentives for plaintiffs. So keeping that kind of general principle in mind, I'm not going to go through all of the changes. The legislatures had lots of fun with prejudgment interest statutes.